grab my Bible right here. We're going to be studying from Matthew chapter 14, a wonderful story about Jesus and about rescue. But first, let's quiet our hearts and get ourselves ready to hear God's word, okay? We bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for being here with us today, for being present. To every one of us, whether we're a child or a child in our heart, we need you. You are our Father. Help us to know how well you rescue us, and open our eyes and our ears to hear your message today. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and finish my sentences. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to study from Matthew 14 today. It had been a long, long day. One of those kind of days that goes on and on and on and on. Have you ever had a day like that? Yeah. Some of my VBS volunteers are looking at me saying, yes, we did. Yes, we did. And this is how the day started. It started out rough. Already the disciples were really tired because Jesus had been drawing these huge crowds wherever he went, and the disciples had to help do crowd control. Plus, they were trying so hard to learn about Jesus and find out what he wanted them to do, and it was just a really tiring time for him. And here they heard at the beginning of the day the worst news. Their friend and the very important prophet, John the Baptist, had been killed by King Herod. How do you think that made them feel? They were, maybe scared, disappointed, and definitely sad. And Jesus himself was sad, and Jesus said, you know, let's take some quiet time. Let's just be together for a while. So let's get in this boat, and let's set off to the other side, and let's just be together for a while, because that's what you need to do when you have hard, sad times. You just sometimes need times like that. But the people were flocking to Jesus in huge crowds, and they saw Jesus get into the boat, and they wanted to go with him. So what did they do? They sat on running, and they ran across the whole around the shore. And by the time that Jesus got there in the boat with his disciples, there was a crowd already there waiting to meet him. Oh, no. I don't think they were going to get any rest that way. What do you think? But you know, the Bible says that Jesus looked at them, and he had compassion for them. You know what compassion is? Do you know what it is? It's kindness, but it's kindness that acts. It's kindness that does things for people in need. And that's how Jesus felt when he saw all of those people. He thought, wow, these look like sheep, and they have no shepherd, and no one's taking care of them. So the people brought Jesus all their sick. From all around, people came. If they had someone sick, they brought it. There were thousands of people there. And there were many, many sick people. And you know what Jesus did? Well, someone brought Jesus a little boy with a broken arm. And Jesus took the little boy's arm in his hands. And he talked softly to the little boy and reassured him. And he healed his arm. And somebody brought Jesus a crippled grandma. She could barely walk, and she was all hunched over like this, and she needed a lot of help to walk. They didn't have wheelchairs in those days, you know. And Jesus bent down, and he looked in her eyes, and he helped lift her up. And she stood up strong and tall, and praise God, she could walk. She wasn't crippled anymore. Somebody had an ugly skin disease. And somebody said, ooh, stay away from him. But Jesus went, and touched that person. And he said something very reassuring to that person. And the person was well. Their skin was beautiful and it was smooth all over again. Jesus did that all day long. He taught the people. He told them stories. He healed. He healed. He healed. You know, Jesus has so much power. Have you ever thought about, why didn't Jesus just say, you're all healed now? And everybody was healed at once. See, Jesus doesn't work like magic. What Jesus wants is he wants a relationship with you. He wants to look right at you and say, I want to be your friend. I want to be your God. So he works with each person one by one. And he was trying so hard to show his disciples, this is who I am. I am God, and this is what God is like. But the disciples were thinking other things. The disciples were thinking, man, look at the sun. It is hot, and we are thirsty, and all these people are still here. And then it was starting to get later and later in the day, and the disciples thought, you know what? We got to get these people fed and send them home. I mean, this is ridiculous. We got to get these people fed. So they all got together, like, Andrew, you go tell him. No, Peter, you go tell him. You know what? Let's all go tell Jesus. So they all went to Jesus and they said, it's getting late, Master, and the people are hungry and tired. Why don't we send them out into the village and let them buy food for themselves? Do you think Jesus liked that idea? Jesus had a better idea. Jesus said, I don't want to send the people away. I don't want to send the people away. You feed them. But Jesus, we only have 5 little loaves and 2 tiny fish. There's no way we can feed all of these people with that. But Jesus said, bring it here to me. And you know the rest of the story. Did everybody get a dinner? Everybody did, because he multiplied the fish and the bread. And he blessed it. He thanked God for it, and he passed it out. And as he passed it out, more came. And he passed it out, and more came. And he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples passed it out, and it became more and more until everybody got fed. It was awesome, but you know what? It was a lot of work for those disciples, because they had to make the people sit down in groups. And it is, you know how Pastor Starla was always like, hands up, mouths quiet? They had to do that all day long with this huge, huge crowd, trying to get them to sit down and be quiet and pass the food, please share. They were exhausted. And when they were done, they had to gather up all of the leftover food, because you know when Jesus does something, he never does it halfway. There's always abundance. And so Jesus had them gather it up, and they gathered up all the fragments. And he could tell, Jesus could tell, because he loved his disciples so much, he could tell they were getting tired. So he said to them, he urged them, I want you now. I know the people are still here, but I want you to get into the boat and go over to a quiet part. Just go on the quiet line. I'll take care of the crowd. So the disciples set off. The sun was slowly setting. It was a beautiful gold coming over the lake. And the disciples were happy to be sitting in the boat quietly with a soft breeze blowing. And Peter laid back in the hull of the boat and he said, finally some quiet. Meanwhile, Jesus climbed up to a mountain because his heart was hungry to talk to his God. Sometimes when I've been so, so busy or so, so burdened with worries or cares, I just want to be with God. I just want to sit in his presence. I don't really need to say a lot to him. I don't really need him to say a lot to me. I just want to be with him. Because when you love somebody, sometimes you can just be with them and it fills your heart up. And that's how Jesus was with God, his Father. He just loved him so much. So Jesus was on the mountain and the disciples were out on the lake, but Jesus could see them Because remember, Jesus never, ever leaves us alone. He knew what his disciples were doing, and he was keeping a careful eye, keeping a watchful eye. Well, it wasn't long before a wind rose up. And on that Sea of Galilee, winds can come very quickly. It can be quiet, and then all of a sudden, a wind can come. It didn't worry the disciples at first because a lot of them were fishermen, and they knew what to do. They weren't worried. So they put the sails down and started bringing out the oars. We're just going to row our way to the other shore. But the wind got worse and worse and worse. It whipped huge, angry waves up on that little lake. And it was tossing the boat back and forth, back and forth. And the disciples were worried. And maybe their boat was going to capsize. Do you know what that is? Like it turns upside down. When that happens, you get turned out, right? And they would all be in that cold, fierce water. So they were very worried. They worked for a long time. In fact, it wasn't a long way they had to sail. But the Bible tells us that it was way past midnight, and they were still not across the lake. It looked like their long day was turning into a long night. But Jesus was watching. He saw his disciples and he saw they needed help. He didn't have a boat, but he wasn't afraid of that wind, and he wasn't afraid of those waves. So he set out. Do you know what Jesus did? He just started walking on the water. He just started walking. Because he wanted to get to his disciples. They needed him, and he wanted to be there for them. But the closer Jesus got to that boat, the more frightened those disciples got. Oh, it's a ghost! Now, don't laugh at them. They didn't have water skis back in that day. They didn't have ski-doos, and they didn't even have surfboards. So nobody walked or stood on water in any way at all. So they thought it was a ghost. But you know what? When Jesus got close enough, he shouted out through the wind. And he said, "Don't be afraid. It's me. I'm here. I'm here for you." And once the disciples heard that voice, even though the wind was still blowing and the waves were still sweeping up, trying to come into the boat and turn it over, their hearts became calm because Jesus was there. Yeah. When Peter saw that his Lord Jesus was walking on the water, he was amazed. And Peter said, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out, and I'll come walk right to you. And Jesus said, come. So Peter stood up, and it wasn't easy, because remember the boat was, even though Jesus was there, there was still the wind and the waves. You remember that. Sometimes there's hard times in your life, but it doesn't mean Jesus isn't with you. All right? So Peter tried to stand up, and he took one foot and he put it over the edge, and it stuck. It didn't go down in. And he took the other and he put it down over the edge, and he was standing and he was looking right at Jesus, and Jesus was grinning at him. And he was grinning right back at Jesus. And he started walking right out to Jesus. But all of a sudden, a huge wow! Have you ever heard a big, angry wind come up like that? That's so loud, it almost sounds like it roars or screams. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but I have heard it. And it can kind of make you shudder. And that's what happened to Peter. It's interesting that the Bible says that Peter looked at the wind at that part. He looked at the wind. Now, I have a question for you. I want to see the hands of everybody who's ever seen wind. Have you ever seen wind? Okay. It's a trick question. You have never seen wind. Now, you have seen wind blow things. So you've seen curtains blow and flags blow and trash cans roll across your yard and leaves fly and all kinds of things. But have you really seen the wind, or did you just see the windiness of the wind? The windiness. You saw the windiness. So then you kind of wonder, why did the Bible say Peter looked at the wind? How do you look at the wind? And then I got thinking, you know what? I think what the Bible means is Peter lost his focus. He was looking right at Jesus and walking. But when that big angry wind came up like that over him and threatened to knock him off course, he noticed the wind. And as soon as he noticed the wind, guess what happened to him? Down he went. Now, when I used to work with children before in Sabbath school, I would sometimes use this. I would say, eyes up here, eyes up here. Because sometimes children and grown-ups, we lose our attention and we need reminders. Jesus wants us to focus on him, to keep our eyes on him. And that's what he was trying to teach Peter. Now, how do you look at Jesus? Because do you see Jesus with your eyes right now? We know he's here with us in our hearts, but we can't see him with our eyes, right? But we can be in a way where we're talking with him and thinking about him and just knowing that he's with us all the time. And when we're in that place, when we're in a place where we're just aware that he's with us, then our focus is on Jesus. Our eyes are on Jesus. Okay? Sometimes winds come up in our lives. They can be all kinds of winds. They can be winds like maybe you had a very horrible, no good, very bad day. Have you ever had one of those? Yeah. So it would be a day like you're late waking up, and you almost leave the house with your pajama bottoms on instead of your pants for school. And then your mom sends you back, and that makes you late. And so you get into the car, and it's, the battery's gone. So now you're late to school. And because you were late to school, you missed the special cupcakes that they were going to have that day. And when you went to do your test, you realized you'd forgotten your homework and your last best pencil had broken. That would be a horrible, no good, very bad day. Would you agree with me? Yeah. Grown-ups have days like that too, don't we? We have days like that? Yes. Sometimes some of you had them this week. God bless you. So, but there's other things that are like wins for us. Like wins for us could be like if our very best friend moves away, or we start school this year and we find out that our best friend is in another classroom than we are. That's hard. That's how those kind of things make us think that maybe, wow, I wonder if Jesus is still with me. Or maybe people are mean to us. Maybe someone's mean to us. Or maybe somebody we really, really love has moved away or died. Those are really hard winds for us. And Jesus knows that when we're in winds like that, we don't feel him. He understands that. But it doesn't mean he's not with us, okay? So, we know what happened to Peter. Just as he was looking around at the wind, he started going down. He started sinking down. Have any of you ever felt like you were going to drown before? Anybody ever felt like they were going to drown before? I was in second grade when I went to my first swim party. It was a birthday party. And all the little girls were coming with their bathing suits, and we were going to play in the pool afterwards. But I wasn't a very good swimmer. But I didn't want other people to know it, because they were all swimming in the deep end. So I got tired, and I was kind of embarrassed of being in the three-foot end. You know what we know what part of the pool that is, the three-foot end? It's not very deep. So I was tired of that, and so I thought, maybe I can try the deep end. So I went, and at first I started out, and I was doing pretty good, but somewhere about halfway across the pool, I lost my focus. I think I looked up and around. Well, when you're swimming, you know you need to keep your head like this, right? But if you keep your head up, do you know what happens to you? Well, that is true. Water comes in your eyes. But if you put your head up, your feet go down. And instead of floating on the top of the water, you're bobbing up and down. And that's what happened to me. And pretty soon I heard that. You know that sound when you're going down underneath? And I was so scared, and I fought my way up to the top, and I said, help! I went down again. But nobody was paying attention to me because all the kids were splashing, and they just thought I was splashing and having fun. All the grown-ups, I don't know where they were. I still to this day do not know where the grown-ups were. They missed the whole thing. But they were just sitting there talking and having fun and visiting. And in the meantime, I was, help! One more time, I came up to the top. And then again, I went down again. And I thought to myself, I'm going to drown right here. 7 years old, this is the end of my life. But there was a girl in my class. She was the biggest girl in the class. I remember her, and her name was Sandy. And she realized, hey, she's not just playing and splashing. She's really in trouble. And so she swam out there. Good thing she was a pretty good swimmer. She swam out to the middle of the pool, and I saw her, and I grabbed a hold of her by the neck. Oh, my goodness, it's a wonder I didn't pull her down with me. But somehow she got me. I think another girl named Kathy came and joined her. And they got me across to the other side of the pool and pulled me up. And by then, finally, the grown-ups realized something was going on. And they got me to the other side of the pool. And I went, you know how when you're really scared, sometimes you just want to sob? I was so scared. Wow, so I know a little bit about what drowning might feel like. So let's think about Peter. Here he was, down he went. Now, Peter was a big man. He was a strong fisherman. The Bible tells us that one time, all by himself, he pulled a net full of almost 150 fish all by himself to shore, swimming and pulling it in. He was strong, but he was no match for this storm. He felt completely powerless. Do you know what he did? When he came bobbing back up to the surface, he shot his hand up and he said, Jesus, help me, save me. And the Bible says that Jesus immediately reached out his hand and yanked him up and pulled him out of the water. Whenever we need Jesus, he comes immediately to us. So, when Jesus got Peter back up on the water, he said something to him. He said, such small faith. Why did you waver? Now, I would like to ask, I read this and I said to myself, I would like to ask Jesus a question. When you read scripture, ask questions. When you read the Bible, ask questions. It'll help you understand better. And I asked a question, and I said, Jesus, why did you say he had small feet? Because all the other guys were back in the boat. Nobody else tried to stand up and walk on the water. Peter did. I think that took big faith. What do you think? I thought it took big faith. But then I felt the Holy Spirit say something in my heart. You know, Jesus isn't somebody who says, you didn't do a good job. I'm really disappointed in you. That's not how Jesus is. And that's not what he was saying to Peter. He was trying to teach Peter something. He didn't mean that Peter had little faith, like not very much. He meant that Peter had short faith. It wasn't long faith. It wasn't faith that could last through. Now, when I was a girl, I liked to play flag football at PE. Does anybody else here like to play flag football? Do you like it? It's fun. So sometimes when I play flag football, I like to play center because I like to snap the ball. And sometimes when I play football, the quarterback would say, "Now I want you to go long." And he'd take the ball and he was going to throw it. And what that meant is he wanted me and the rest of us to run down as far as we could into the end zone so that when he threw the ball, we could snag it out of the air and we would be way down there and we'd make a lot of yardage. So what Jesus, I think, was saying to Peter is, I want you to go long. Now, sometimes it's a lot easier, believe it or not, to do a great big thing for Jesus than it is to keep on walking toward Jesus when hard times come. But Jesus loves faith that lasts long. And he's asking us to trust him through the hard times, even when the winds of life come blowing at us. We just keep our eyes on him and we just keep walking, keep walking, keep walking toward him. And that's a long-lasting faith. I have a prayer. Well, I pray a lot of prayers, like you do. And sometimes my prayers aren't answered the way I want to. Sometimes I feel like God says, no, I have something better. Or sometimes he says, not now. But I have an always prayer that Jesus always says yes to. Would you like to know what it is? It is this prayer. I sometimes call God Papa. And when I get in really bad places, like in my mind, like I'm really feeling upset, or I'm really feeling worried, or I'm really angry and I don't want to be angry, but I'm angry and I am powerless to change it. It just keeps coming and coming in my mind. The thoughts keep going. You know what I do? I pray this. I say, Papa, come get me. Come get me. Just like a little child. You know, like when you were a little bitty one and you wanted to get up, you would just put your hands up like this. The babies would just put their hands up like this and Jesus and the mommy or daddy would just come and pick them right up. That's what I do. I pray, Papa, come get me. And it isn't long. I just wait on him. And it isn't long before it's like light comes into my mind and song comes into my heart. And those thoughts that are angry or discouraging or worrying, they just start. Melt away. That's how it was for the disciples when Jesus and Peter walked back arm in arm into the boat. Once he sat down in the boat, the wind stopped. The waves started to even out. The clouds parted. Quiet. And the disciples were like, wow. And they knelt down in that boat. The Bible says they worshiped him. And they said, you are the Son of God. In all of our troubles, in all of our hard days, in all of our struggles, when the winds of life blow, Jesus wants us to know who he is. He doesn't change, and he's always with us. And I would like to invite you, each one, to remember to pray that always prayer, Papa, come get me, because he always